Okay, Chav Tes Amid Beis. I think on this one is 58. This goes at English pages. Yeah, 58. About the middle, a little bit above the middle of the page. 13 lines before the wide lines. Chav Tes Amid Beis. 29b2 in yours. Okay, first column of the English Gemara. Okay, the last thing the Gemara was discussing was if somebody had the opportunity to either go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Yom Tov or to do Pinyan HaBen. So the Gemara said, what you have to do is first you do Pinyan HaBen, first you redeem the firstborn, then you go up to Yerushalayim, and you learn it up from a pasuk. The view that argued and so on. Now the Gemara says like this, we know that when you redeem the firstborn, the firstborn, by definition, is what's called Peter Rechem, the first one out of the womb. And therefore, what happens if somebody is born cesarean? So they're not, in this respect, they're firstborn as far as inheritance concerned, they're firstborn that they have to fast Erev Pesach, but as far as the concept of Pinyan HaBen, they don't have to do a redemption of the firstborn because it's not out of the womb. So Gemara says like this, Minayin Shem Hoyo Lechamisha Bonim Mechot Mishnoshim. How do I know that if a guy was married to five wives, in those days he can have many wives, and he had five firstborns, one per wife, how do I know Shechayev lived this kulam? How do I know you have to redeem all five? Tamalema kol b'chor b'nechet tifta. All your firstborn, you have to redeem. And therefore this is a firstborn, right? Each one is a firstborn from that wife, so you have to redeem it. So the Gemara says, pshit, of course. I mean, it's obvious. Peter Rechem Tol Rechmana. The third connects it to the firstborn out of the womb. So of course you have to the five firstborns. So Gemara said, no. I would think Nelev Bechor Bechor Minachalo. I would think we learn out the concept of firstborn from inheritance, because the law, like we said, by inheritance is only the firstborn of the father has the law of the firstborn. Everybody else, even if he has, let's say, five wives, it's only the oldest son from all the wives is the one that's the firstborn. So I would think we learn out this din from that din, and therefore the same law would apply. So Mala Halan, just say by inheritance, it says Reishis Einu, the first one of his strength, meaning the first one of his offshoot, which means only the oldest of them all. So I would think even by a firstborn of redeeming the firstborn, Avkan Reishis Einu, I would think you also have to do it the first of all of them. Kamashmalan, it teaches us, no, that you have to redeem each one of the five because each one is a natural firstborn from the mother's womb. But there's an interesting halacha. So we learn if a baby is born cesarean, it's not from the womb, so there's no redemption of the firstborn. What happens if the first child is born cesarean and the second child is born natural? So the din is he still doesn't need a pinyan haben. He still doesn't need to be redeemed because he's not the b'chor. He's not the firstborn. In other words, in order to be redeemed, the obligation to redeem a firstborn, you need two criteria. Number one, that he's the firstborn, male. That means if he has an older sister, he's not a firstborn anymore. Number one, has to be a firstborn male. That is from the womb.
What's the indication that has to be a male?
Kol b'chor b'necha. It says clearly, b'necha, your sons.
I mean,
not only that, in the din of inheritance, against Torah, with Torah law, that if there's a son, girls don't inherit, right? So if there's a firstborn sister, girl, the next one's not a firstborn.
Okay.
I think he's not a firstborn. He gets equal like everybody else. No, if there's, let's say there's eight kids, four girls and four boys, right? So according to Torah, it's not done today, but according to Torah law, the four boys inherit, the four girls get nothing. Right? But if the firstborn would be a firstborn boy,
he would get double,
which means if there's four sons and one of them is a firstborn, you divide the property into five. Right? The firstborn gets 2/5 and everybody else gets 1/5. But if there's an older sister, then it's not.
He gets the same as everybody.
He gets like everybody else. That's what I'm saying. So, one second. So in Torah law, I mean, for as far as the firstborn, the Gemara says over here, Number one, you need to be a firstborn, and it has to be a first natural birth out of the womb. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. It's going back to what the Mishnah said, that a father has to teach his son to learn Torah. Mendelssohn the...
Is it also this in this pasuk to...
In the Black Sefer.
Firstborn animals?
Huh?
Firstborn animals?
Yeah, firstborn animals you also have to redeem.
What's the, is it from this pasuk or the...
No, same pasuk. No.
Same pasuk?
No. That purpose. Okay. Now, the Gemara says like this. Lelam de Torah, how do I know a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah? How do we know that? So it says, Dichsiv, because it says in the Torah, in Shema, Limadetem Esem es Beneichem, you should teach your sons. So it says clearly, the father has an obligation to teach the son. So now the Gemara says like this, Veheche dole agmer avu, what happens in the case a kid grew up and the father never taught him? The father just didn't teach him Torah, whatever. So the din is, Mechayev iyo ligmar nafshi, he's obligated to learn himself. To get a teacher, whatever, to make sure he learns himself. Dechsev, because it says in the pasuk, v'ulemadetem esam, you should study them. Which means if you didn't get taught, you have an obligation when you grow up, become old bar mitzvah, that you have to teach yourself. So then the Gemara said, in the Mishnah it said, that a father has to teach his son Torah, but not the mother. There's no obligation on the mother to teach your son Torah. So it says, from where do we learn out that a mother is not obligated to teach? Because all the Torah says is teach your sons. So maybe the mother does have to teach the son. How do we know it's only an obligation on the father, not on the mother? So it says, because it says, v'limadetem, meaning you should teach. But you can also read it, ulimadetem, you should study. That means the same word that says teach can also, because in the Torah there's no vowels. The same word, the way it says teach, can be read learn. So the Gemara is going to learn like this. Somebody who is obligated to learn is obligated to teach. The mother is not obligated to learn Torah, as we'll soon see, so she's not obligated to teach.
But if she teaches, it's okay.
Yeah, she's supposed to teach. But I'm saying there's no obligation. Huh?
Like you always say,
she teaches more than the father teaches.
Is that why Yeshua that said learn me?
Yeah, learn me. Yes. So it says like this: Kol shemitzuva lilmeid. Anyone who's commanded to learn, mitzuva lilameid is commanded to teach. V'chol she'ena mitzuva lilmeid. A person is not obligated to learn Torah by themselves. Eina mitzuva lilameid is not obligated to teach. So the Gemara is not done yet, but the Gemara is saying like this: the father has to teach his son because it says in the Torah, teach your son. How do I know that it's only the father? Maybe the mother also has to teach. So Gemara says, we read it, v'limadetem ulimadetem, the same word, meaning teach and learn. So from here we learn, whoever is obligated to learn Torah is obligated to teach Torah. A mother is not obligated to learn Torah, as we'll soon see. So she's not obligated to teach the son. So Gemara says, how do we know a woman doesn't have to learn by herself? How do we know a woman is not obligated to learn Torah by herself? Because it says, v'limadetem ulimadetem. You shall teach and you should study. Meaning, kol shachedem mitzuvim lelamdei, whoever is obligated to teach, mitzuvim lelamdei, is obligated to teach, learn themselves. V'chol she'en achedem mitzuvim lelamdei, whoever is not obligated to teach them, are not mechuyev to learn. Meaning, Gemara says like this: if you're obligated to teach, then you're obligated to learn. If you're not obligated to teach, you're not obligated to learn. How do we know a woman is not obligated to teach? To be taught, not to teach, to be taught. And as Gemara learns like this: if you're obligated to be taught, then you have an obligation to learn. If you're not obligated to be taught, then you don't have an obligation to learn. How do we know a woman is not obligated to be taught? Because the Torah says, "V'limadetem esam es b'neichem." You have to teach your sons. Meaning, there's no mitzvah to teach the daughter. The mitzvah is only to teach the son. So the Gemara learns, if you're not obligated to be taught by others, then you're not obligated to learn. If you're not obligated to learn, then you're not obligated to teach. So therefore, a woman does not have to teach her son Torah. Why? Because who's obligated to teach his son Torah, their son Torah? Only one who's obligated to learn himself. Who's obligated to learn themselves? One who's obligated to be taught. Because the Torah says, teach your sons, so a woman is not obligated to be taught. If she's not obligated to be taught, she doesn't have to teach. If she doesn't have to teach, she doesn't. Therefore, she doesn't have to teach her son Torah.
Can you say from the grammar, when you made the ten, as possible when you made
the
ten?
But in the Torah, there's no vowels. It could be read both ways.
No, nun. If it would have been a nun.
No. Because when you speak male and female,
in common language is to say when you made the ten.
No, in Hebrew, when you speak to plural, men and women, you use the masculine gender.
Yeah.
That's the grammar in Lashon Kodesh. I mean, in Ivrit, but in Ivrit also, but in Torah, in Diktuk, in grammar of Lashon Kodesh,
no,
when you speak to male and female.
Or when it says, when Mother 10, that's a definite female. With a nun.
And yeah, the nun would be female.
Only.
Right.
Is this also the source for teachers to teach their students?
No.
Is it a different source for them?
Then what? You have to teach? The obligation is on the father.
I'm talking about teacher students, not father sons.
But the Gemara is going to say later, as B'neichem refers to your students, who are also called children.
So the same source.
You know, there's a whole interesting discussion in Halacha, if you can pay tuition from tzedakah money. Right? You're giving it to a school, it's tzedakah. Can you pay, you know, the 10% you have to give away to tzedakah, can you pay tuition from it? So, according to most opinions, boys for sure you can't. Why? Because something you're obligated to do is not tzedakah. You have an obligation to do it. Like somebody needs to wear tefillin. Yeah? You can't say, well, tefillin's going to cost me $1,500. I'll take it out of my tzedakah money. You can't, because you have an obligation to wear tefillin. You can't. You can't even say, well, the guy it's selling to me is poor, so I'm giving him the $1,000, let's say, for the tefillin, so I'll count it as tzedakah. You can't, because it's your obligation. Obligation, lulav and esrog, I mean, anything like that, you can't. So, the truth is, as Alter Rebbe is brought down in a Yom Yom, the famous story, Alter Rebbe called in a chassid of his, and he said to him, listen, I have an obligation to teach my son Torah. You have an obligation to support your family. Let's switch. You'll teach my son Torah, and I'll pay you, and I'll support your family. Okay? So therefore, by a boy, because there's an obligation that a father has, the Mishnah says, to teach your son Torah, you can't deduct that from tzedakah money. And there's a whole shal about girls also. Now, the story with the girls learning Torah is also the very interesting thing. Girls per se, based on this Gemara, the Gemara says, girls, the father does not have to teach his daughters. Right? The father has to teach only the sons. Nevertheless, a girl, a woman, is obligated. A girl, a woman, is obligated to learn all the laws that she needs to know how to run a Jewish home and a Jewish life. Yeah, which means all negative commandments which women are obligated in, which means all of Hilchos Shabbos, all of the holidays, all of Kashrus, all of, as the Rebbe said, it takes a few lifetimes to learn those laws that a woman has to learn. But technically, once a woman knows everything she needs to know, she does not have an obligation to study Torah. A man has an obligation to study Torah 24/7. The Torah says you can eat and you can sleep and you can do business, you can, you know, relax a little bit, you know. But technically, the obligation of a man, Vagisa Bayem Valaila, is they have an obligation 24/7 to learn Torah. A man can't say, I know it all, and therefore I don't have to learn. Okay? But here the Mishnah is not talking so much about the personal obligation, even though the Gemara said that. A father has to teach his son Torah. What happens is the father doesn't, when the son gets older, the son is obligated to learn Torah himself. The mother The Gemara says it's not obligated, and we learn out from the various sentences that we just learned that the mother is not obligated. That means it's an obligation. In a practical sense, it says, because the woman is more home than the husband is, so she has to teach more, she has more influence on the kids than the father does.
In terms of kids' education, a lot of times private schools cost so much more money than public school.
Yeah.
The guy ends up paying so much more for his child's education. You can't say that's my sense.
No, because you have an obligation to teach him Torah. How else are you going to do it?
It has cost so much.
Public
school, it costs a lot. I'm just saying.
Wait, can you send a kid to a private school and say that's teaching Torah? You don't have to teach him.
If you teach him to private Torah school.
No, no.
Not to Westlake Harvard.
Yeah.
Okay, then it says, "Uminayin shein acheder mitzuvim melamdo." How do we know that other people are not obligated to teach the woman, a woman? The Amarka, because it says, "Limadetam eisam es beneichem." You need to teach it to your sons, v'lei b'nei seichem, not to your daughters. Okay, so this is the so to speak the bottom line of the Gemara, that a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. If the son doesn't. I mean, if the father didn't, for whatever reason it is, the son has an obligation to teach Torah, to learn Torah himself, and this obligation is only on the father, not on the mother. Then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned. What happens? Hu lilmeid ubnei lilmeid. What happens if a father has enough money? He never learned. His father never taught him. Now you have a scenario, there's a father and a son. There's funding for one of the two to learn. Money. Who gets it? The father learns or the kid learns?
Son.
1 second. Let's see the Gemara. Does the son get it or the father gets it? So the Gemara says like this. Who lil maid, ubnei lil maid? What happens is two people that need to learn. The father needs to study and the son needs to study, but there's only money for one. The din is who kaidim libnei? The son comes first. I'm sorry. The father comes before the son. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Im b'nei zorizim amulach, if the son is diligent and bright, and what he learns remains with by him, miskayim b'yodei, b'nei kedem, then the son is first. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the child will be more successful in the learning than the father, then you'd learn with the son. And the father doesn't learn. Otherwise, the father comes first. Why? Because this is a mitzvah for himself. This is a mitzvah that he has to teach his son. So the rabbis, the chachamim hold, you come first. So it's your obligation to teach yourself first. And the Gemara gives a story with this.
Rabbi, this is a very important big message here, is saying that the father comes first and the son comes
first. Not in all things.
Not in all things.
No. No, because it said...
Because he has to teach.
No, because but Rabbi Yehuda says that if the son, not that the Chacham agree with him, they don't. But Rabbi Yehuda says if the son will be more successful in learning than the father,
and then it goes to the son.
Then the son gets it first.
But it's not the decision.
Not the father. No, the Gemara tells an interesting story. There was this rabbi at the Gemara, Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Shadre avu lekamid Abaye. His father sent his son, Rav Yaakov, to learn in Abaye's yeshiva. He also, when he came back home, after, you know, he was in the yeshiva for a while, and the son comes home. Chazed le'av mahad shmaitze. He didn't learn very well. Kid came home for break, and the father says, you know, the kid didn't learn that well. What happened? So he says to the kid, "Ana amale." The father said to the son, "You know what? Ani adiva minach. I'm better than you." And he told the son, "Tayvat, you stay here and support the family. The ezel ana, I'm going to go learn." So here was the reverse case: the father was a better learner than the son. The son went to yeshiva, right, and he wasn't so successful. So the father said, "You know what? I'm going to yeshiva. You stay home."
Where's the wife, Rabbi?
Huh?
Where's the wife?
What's the problem with the wife?
In those days, it was okay for the father to.
Somebody had to run the business.
run the farm?
Yeah, whatever it was. No, it says that he said you should stay here and stay home and do it, support the family. Now go. So what happened? Shama Abaya. So Abaya was the teacher, right? So Abaya heard that the father was coming. Okay, the father was coming back to yeshiva. So he said like this: Hava ahu mazik beirabanan. Abaya, there was a demon. In the time of the Gemara, they had demons. Then they were became abolished. At the end of the Gemara, they abolished them from people. And at the time of Rabbi Adam Baal Shem, who was before Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, they became abolished from the face of the earth. The Tzaddikim got together. But in the time of the Gemara, it was very common to have demons damaging and hurting the Jews. There's a lot of Gemaras, what you do to protect yourself from the Shadim, but the attacker would have demons, and in Abaye's yeshiva, there was a certain demon that lived in Abaye's yeshiva, the Chiyava Alim Bitzrein, that even when people walked two together in the study hall, he would hurt them. Afilu b'yomam, even during the day, Hava Mitaske, he would hurt the people. That means sometimes the demons came out at night when it was, Yeah. The demon was not a physical being, but he physically hurt the people.
So it's like a spiritual thing.
Yeah, but he hurt the people physically.
Doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't exist anymore. So Amalahu. So you have to understand. Abaye has a situation. He has a yeshiva. There's this demon that's hurting the people. He hears that Acha Bar Yaakov is coming to the yeshiva instead of his son. So Abaye says to his students like this: Listen, Leleisiv Leinish Shpiza. I don't want anybody to offer Rav Acha a place to sleep. I don't want anybody to open their homes to him. Why? Because he wanted that he should sleep in the yeshiva with the demon, that he'll be able to get rid of the demon. Because he was so holy, he would be able to get rid of the demon. Yeah. Obvious. Well, maybe it was because it was a biased place. He couldn't do anything about it. So he says like this: Leiseisiv leinish ushpiza. I don't want anybody to order the students. I don't want anybody to give him a place to sleep. Why? After the misrachash nisa, maybe a miracle would happen. Now the mefarshim ask an interesting question: how is Abaye putting Rav Acha into a dangerous situation?
It is dangerous.
Yeah, the demon was hurting people,
especially overnight,
and he's going to be overnight alone.
By himself.
Yeah. So Rashi alludes to it, but the Mefarshim explained, Abaye was so certain that he was such a great man, he knew nothing was going to happen to him. Wow. That you have that many times. The Gemara asks a question: How did they put people into dangerous situations? So they said they knew that for sure nothing was going to happen to them.
How is distinguishing him that he's so great?
Obviously Abaye heard of him and knew. Or Abaye saw that the father was so anxious to learn that he told the son, you know what, you stay home, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? Oh, baby, so Rav Acha had no place to sleep. So what do? You sleep in the yeshiva. Not in the bed, in the study hall. Idamale b'ktanina d'shiva reishvaser. So the demon appeared to him like a snake with seven heads. That's how it appeared to him. Kokriya dekara, every time, so Rav Acha started praying that this guy should get lost. So every time he bowed in prayer, another head went off. Kokriya dekara, every bow that he took during davening, nasa chadresha, one of the snakes, the serpent's head, fell off.
But there were only four
davenings. Yeah, but he davened the longer davening. Amru So Rav Acha, the next day, said to Abaye, hey, Hilei Yisrachash Nisa, if a miracle didn't happen to me, Sakintin, you would have endangered my life. He screamed at Abaye. He said, you endangered my life. How was I supposed to know a miracle's going to happen? And he figured out that that's why Abaye did it. So he said to Abaye, what did you do? You put me in a dangerous situation, and I was only saved because of a miracle. But Abaye was certain that nothing was going to happen to him.
Maybe that's why the son didn't learn much.
Because why?
Because of the demon.
Rabbi had a good yeshiva.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't such a good student either.
You had a lot of demons. Some of the students called the teachers the demons. Tell Rabbi the Rabbanan learned. Oh, this is also very interesting gemara. Lemotayda v'lisa isha. You have two options. Get married or learn Torah. Which one? What do you do? What?
Son
will learn better than if you do that. Right. Son. So is that also according? Does that work with Yirmiyahu set on top of the mitzvah of the Yehudah? Yeah. So it overrides that. Mm-hmm. Because you have to get the best for your money, so to speak. I mean, as the expression goes, you have to get the best for your money. If your son is able to learn better, then.
Oh, but maybe the best means to pay.
Yeah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only if the son is better. If the son's not better, then he agrees that the father is first. Because the mitzvah dugufei. Because the mitzvah that the father has in himself. Okay. Tanu Rabban. Now, give an example. Somebody has two options. Okay? To put tefillin on themselves. That's what they didn't put on tefillin, right? They have two choices. And only one of the two could happen. Either put tefillin on himself or put on somebody else. Who should he do? On himself. Because mitzvah du gufei adiv, that's the halacha. What?
What happened to the other thing
you were talking
about?
Which other thing?
The demons. Either
you get married or... Oh, no, one second. They're starting now. Tell the Rabbanon looked like this. Lil v'lisa isha. A guy has two choices. Either learn or start, or get married. So it says, yil meteira v'acha kachisa isha. First you should learn, and then get married. Okay? Now, it doesn't, as he brings out at the bottom, the Rishayim, the Rosh discusses, wait, for how long? Until you're 90? So obviously it doesn't mean forever. It means for a certain period of time. You can't reject marriage permanently in favor of Masiyah. Ben Avzai did that. But you can't do it otherwise. V'miyav shelei b'lei isha. What happens if it's impossible for him to be without a wife? Like he's freaking out. Then let him get married first, and then learn. Because if your mind is on getting married the whole time, you're not going to be able to learn anyway. So ideally, you should learn, and then get married. If you can't, so then you get married, and then you learn. So he says, Amir Rav Yehuda Amir Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said, Neim Shmuel, what's the halacha? Halacha is, Nay say Isha, first you get married, and then you learn Taita. Amalei Rabbi Yechon and said to him, what are you kidding? Rechayim b'tzavarei, v'yasek b'taita. You have the yoke of making a living, and you're going to learn Torah. If you're married, you have to make a living. Right? So how do you expect to learn Torah if you have to make a living? Rabbi Yechon said, what are you crazy? Shmuel says, get married and then learn Torah. Rabbi Yechon says, how could you do such a thing? How could you get, if you're going to have to make a living, how are you going to learn Torah? So Gemara says, interesting, v'lei pligi. They're not arguing. Why aren't they arguing? Halon v'halahu. This is the way Rashi learns. One is for the people in Bavo, and one is for the people in Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel lived in Bavo, in Babylonia, which is now Iraq. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the way, the simple meaning of the Gemara. According to Shmuel, Shmuel said, get married and then learn Torah. Okay? Because in Bavel that worked better.
That rich father-in-law's
there? No, if anything, in Eretz Yisrael they had rich father-in-laws.
Bavel was a place of center of Torah learning. Even Chacham who wanted to learn better, they would go to Bavel.
No, one second. So the way Rashi learns, so argument to Rashi and Tesis, but Rashi learns the Gemara like this. Shmuel was speaking to the people from Bavel that went to Eretz Yisrael to learn. Okay? The main Torah at that time was in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Mishnas were, the Tanoim, they were all in Eretz Yisrael. So the people from Bavel, as it says in the Mishnah, have a Geilulim came Taira, person should go exile themselves to a place of learning Torah, like we learned Shabbos and Pirkei Avos. So Shmuel spoke to the people of Eretz Yisrael, above them. What they used to do is, they used to get married, believe it or not, and they left home. Today it wouldn't work. In those days they got married, and then they went to Eretz Yisrael to learn.
Without their wives.
Without the wives. Yeah, without the wives. Of course without the wives. So they would leave and learn Torah. So for those people in Eretz Yisrael, they had no burdens of Parnassah, because they weren't in Bavel, they were in Eretz Yisrael. They were away from the family. So for them, Shmuel said, get married, and then go away to learn in Eretz Yisrael.
They still have to
become Tzaddik. No, they don't, because in Eretz they didn't have to work. They were supported by the yeshiva, and that was it.
Who's supporting the wife?
Kailu. Who, the wife who worked. Or the father-in-law.
What's the point of
the father-in-law?
What's the point of getting
they shouldn't have the desire foreign thoughts, or who he's going to marry. Like this, he settled. It goes away.
When did he come back? I mean, like,
Rabbi Akiva came back 24 years later.
But he had two kids when he came back, no?
Oh.
Rabbi Akiva had kids before he left. When he came back, he had grown kids, no? No?
Chal's question about what if Rabbi Akiva had kids, who were they, what were they? It's not so simple, Rabbi Akiva has kids. One opinion says Rabbi Shua ben Karcha was Rabbi Akiva's son.
Because
he was bald. Other Mefarshim disagree with that completely, and they say, how is the Gemara going to call Rabbi Akiva baldy? It's like a derogatory thing.
Because they wanted to hide his identity from the Romans at that time.
No, but not in Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, no. And there's a whole discussion.
His daughter married the Benazi.
Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, Rachel. No, Rachel was his wife. The daughter, I think it says her name. Who one opinion says married Benazi, and another opinion says Benazi never married her.
But he had a daughter.
Had a daughter.
The miracle happened with the...
Yeah. He had a daughter. But who says it was born before?
Was this daughter from Rachel or from the...
From Rachel.
He already married the second wife. He also married the second wife, the Geras, the convert, no?
I don't know. I'm not saying no, I don't know. Okay, anyway, so it says like this. Rabbi Yechanan, as Rashi explains, like this. In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yechanan said, learn Torah, and then get married. What did Rabbi Yechanan say? Learn Torah, then get married. Right? Because Rabbi Yechanan is speaking to the guys in Eretz Yisrael. They got married and they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yechanan is not going to say to them, get married and then go learn Torah, because then they're going to have a problem of Parnassah. So Rabbi Yechanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he was dealing with Israelis, he said, learn Torah and then get married. Shmuel didn't have a problem with it, because they got married and then they left. And they went to Eretz Yisrael, so they had no problem with making a living.
And how does this contradict Ben Shmanas of the Chuppah?
We're not done yet with the Gemara. We're not done yet with the Gemara. We'll see. Okay, Tosfos is in the opposite way. Tosfos goes into the whole thing of it. Okay, it's not for now. The Gemara says like this. Mishtabach le'Rav Chista le'Rav Huna. It's amazing. Rav Chista praised Rav Hamnuna to Rav Huna. Okay? Rav Chista had a colleague, Rav Huna. And Rav Chista was telling Rav Huna that there's a great sage called Rav Hamnuna, who is very, very great. He is what he told him. Armaleis Rav Huna said to Rav Chista, you know, Sheyavel Yotcha, when he comes to you, Havien El Yodi, bring him to me, I want to meet him. Tell me, he's a big, holy guy, I want to meet him. Okay? When he came, he also, when Rav Hamnuna came to Rav Chista, listen to this. Chazi de Leipardis Sudra. He saw that he wasn't wearing a head covering. Now, we also learned about this before between Minchah Ma'ariv, but in those days, it was customary for men to wear a head covering, a whole turban. Married men, to wear a turban. Rav Hamnuna was not wearing a turban. Okay? Amar Lei, so he said to him, my time Lei Parisa Sudra, why aren't you wearing a turban on your head? Amalei said, Lei Nasiva, I'm not married. Be more not. You know, I'm not married. I'm not wearing one. Hadrina la'ape mine. When Rav Huna heard this, he turned his face away from him, and he said, Amalei said to him, I don't want to look at you at the nospis until you get married. Okay? Rav Huna said to Rav Amnuna, okay, you understand, Rav Chista is praising this Rav Amnuna that he's such a holy man, yeah? Comes to Rav Huna, Rav Amnuna comes to Rav Huna, and he's not wearing a turban. So he says to him, why aren't you wearing a turban? He said, what do you mean, I'm not married. So he said, you're not married? He turned his face away from him. He said, I don't want to look at you until you get married. The Gemara is going to explain why. Because Rav Huna, letamei, Rav Huna goes according to his own reasoning. Why did Rav Huna say such a sharp statement? Because Rav Huna goes according to his own opinion. He said like this, the Amar, Rav Huna said, ben esrim shana, if you're 20 years old, v'leinasi ichen, and you're not married, kol yama baveda, all your life you're sinning. So the Gemara says, what? Baveda k'salka daitoch? What do you mean, the guy sins? Well, the Gemara thought it means you're committing immoral acts. The Gemara said, what? The Gemara says, no. Ele'ema kol yomav behirir aver. Every day you're thinking of sin. Okay, because of the human passions and natures. So the Gemara says like this, Rav Huna held, if you're not married by 20, every day of your life you have foreign thoughts. So therefore Rav Huna said, you tell me this Rav Amnuna, obviously Rav Amnuna was over 20. Because if it would be 13, it wouldn't be an issue. Avziz Rav Amnuna was over 20. And he came to him and he said, you're not married? You're a sinner. I don't want to look at you. Because Rav Huna holds that the latest you can get married is 20. I mean, if you want to do it right. One second, we're not done yet. Amar Rava, it says like this. Amar Rava, Rava said, V'chein tanit veri Rabbi Shmuel, so it says in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. Listen to this. At Chav Shana, up to a person's 20 years old, Yeshiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzap Al Adam. God is waiting for the person asking, Masa Yisa Isha, when is he going to get married? And that was a guy until he's 20, Hashem is waiting there in heaven, say, hey, when is this guy going to get married? Kivin She'agiyav Be'echav Leinasa. Once he hits 20 and he doesn't get married, Hashem says, Tepech, let his bones swell. Let him, as the expression goes, let him rot. Basically. So you see from the Gemara, that's why Rav Huna didn't like what Rav Amnuna did, why wasn't he married. And the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, you know something? You know why I'm greater than my friends? The Nesivna Beshitzer. I got married at 16. And if I would have got married at 14, Havamina Lasatan, I would have been able to say to the Satan, Gira Beinacha, arrows in your eyes. In other words, he says, if I got married at 16, not at 20, so I was better than all my other friends. But if I would have gotten married at 14, I would have been able to get rid of the evil inclination completely. Okay? So, this is
so are these ages?
We're not done yet.
At that time, similar to today's ages.
First of all, the maturity of those 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, like a 300-year-old tape today. I mean, look in the Gemara. Rachel got married at 3. I mean, Rivka got married at 3. Rachel was also a little girl.
These rulings are not
that bad. Well, we're not done with the Gemara even.
That's when Isaiah became Nasi, when he was 18.
Yeah, and he was married already. No. No, see, he says like this. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nasim Berami. Huh? He says like this. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nasim Berami. Rava said to Rav Nasim Berami. Adi Yudodich when as long as you're able to control your son's ethics, says, when is this? Mishitzer vat esen vatarti. From 16 until he's 22. Or some people say, mitamnesay from 18 until he's 24. In other words, either 16 to 22. In other words, there's a 6-year span when you can still guide him. In other words, like this. Before 16 or 18, depending on the two versions of the Gemara, don't burden him with too much pressure.
What does that mean?
Don't put the yoke, like, don't ever burden him with ethical admonition, because he's not mature enough to accept it. But if the son's older than 22, don't tell him anything, because he's not going to listen. Huh? No, that's why what Rashi's saying, what he's telling him, as long as you can control him,
you tell your 5-year-old,
get him married.
You tell your 5-year-old what's good, what's bad.
No. You talk about a different world. So he's telling him basically, marry off your kid, okay, from 16 until 22.
Oh, that's when you have power. You can influence them to get married.
18 to 24.
Otherwise, they won't listen to you.
Right.
Does that change in today's age? Or
yeah, we spoke about it. Yeah.
But then at that time, also, they recommended kind of you go out with this girl. And
not you going out with the girl. They met under the chuppah.
That's it.
Designated.
They used to designate shidduchim when they were babies.
Yeah.
Something before they were born.
That's when you have total control.
Yeah, before they're born. So they would see her once under the chuppah, and that's it.
But that's against what you just said.
What?
Between 16 and 22, that's when you should do it.
No, to actually get married, but not to talk to shidduch.
Miter Shur dated his wife one time before they got
married. No, today that wouldn't work. Okay, anyway, so one opinion says from 16 to 22, or from 18 to 24. Ketanoi, so it's like an argument of Tanoim. It says, Chaneich lenar al pidarki. Train a youth according to his way, meaning when he's young, that you can train him in a way that he'll last his life. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, Chad Amar Meshitzer Vat Esrim V'Tartin, from 16 to 22, and the other opinion says from 18 to 24. So these are the ages that, now, in Pirkei Avos it says Ben Shmein Eser L'Chupa. 18 is Chupa. They even learn it out from a pasuk. V'hu Isha B'Fsileo Yikach. A kohen should take a virgin. V'hu Isha B'Fsileo Yikach. The word V'hu equals 18. This is the first from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
Why focus on V'hu?
Because when Isha B'Fsileo Yikach, when should you take a psula girl to marry? Vuhu, when you're 18. So that's the age of doing it. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says that technically a person has to get married at 18, when Shmuel Esther the Chuppah, but if they're learning Torah, they can delay it. That's what it says. They can delay it. Until whatever.
Question about the previous Gemara.
What?
Recently, the Gemara is saying you only have money for one person to learn, and it's a situation where you never learned. Neither of them know any Torah.
Right.
So then, I think it said the father should.
Right.
But then, if the son is more talented, the son.
But that Rebbe holds.
I know.
Not the Chol.
But then we came to a situation where both of them are big Tanoim. And then the son is.
Yeah, but the father was greater. Time. No, the father was greater than the son.
Something about learning. If neither of them know any Torah.
No, it doesn't mean if neither of them know any Torah.
That's how we said it.
No, that they don't know anything. There's a choice. The father could learn or the kid could learn. So then the father goes first. What happens if the money would be better spent on the kid? Then the kid goes first.
If the money is spent better than on the father, then for sure. As we
see by the Ravacha.
The
Vachav Yaakov.
The father has the obligation to teach the son. The son doesn't have an obligation to teach the father.
Right.
And what's it so? I mean, they're Tanna. These are usually said to kids themselves. They needed to go to Yeshua. They learned better at the Yeshua.
It doesn't matter where
they went to learn.
So
They'll learn.
This one is like a rav or a tzaddik.
Yeah, but they will learn by Abaya. Abaya was greater, and then they became, as they got older, they became greater.
It's better to go and learn the yeshiva.
Of course you have to learn yeshiva.
And the son who stayed back, obviously was also learning, but not that level.
Not that level of learning.
So how do we apply this in today's world where you have children and you have sons, you know, you have to go by the measure of the maturity?
No, today they teach the sons. Trust me, it's a better investment. Today's kids are better than the parents. All of them. No, I mean the minute today is that the pearl you teach the son.
Teach the son. You're talking about the marriage, the
age of getting.
Yeah, because you know the maturity level is like you said. You know, our generation come from Iran, and we were, I think, more mature than the kids are born here. The same Persians are born.
Don't tell that to the kids; they don't agree with you.
They're smarter. I'm not saying that but the maturity level changes.
The maturity level is going down. Yeah. But what do you ask about? What age should they? Because she got married today. They shouldn't get married at 16. Because most of the people get married at 16 are divorced at 17. Mm. In today's world.
In terms of a girl, the Gemara doesn't even say a girl should learn. Where do we get that they should learn how to live as a Jew?
Later on in the Gemara, not in this Gemara.
That's also
so there's not a chiyuv of Talmud Torah.
I understand, but that's...
It says that women can still make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah because they get schar of learning Torah, but not the same level of the men's learning Torah. But they get schar of learning Torah.
So just recently, they didn't teach girls any Torah. If you're saying that there's another...
That's because of Mishnah Seita. They come Lamanith B'Tik Torah, kill Lamanith Tiflis.
But you just said another place in the Gemara says they should learn...
They didn't teach them Torah as Torah. But they had to teach them home economics.
The laws.
Yeah. The mother taught... Who taught the girls in the shtetl? Who taught the girls everything? They didn't go to school. There were no girls' schools in those days, right?
So they didn't know.
The mother taught the girl everything she had to know.
Even though they didn't know Hebrew.
Yeah. You know what? The people that grew up in the shtetl, Taka couldn't read Hebrew. A lot of them couldn't read Hebrew.
Even
the ones that didn't go.
Some of the
Rebbeim. The Rebbeim's wives know how to read one. They were daven in different language, in Yiddish or in whatever language.
Yiddish. Yeah. Things by heart.
Ten of it, whatever, yeah. They learned the davenings by heart. They didn't have to daven the whole daven, could be daven. So it's a whole different thing.
But this distinction between what Shemuel said versus Rabbi Yochanan doesn't apply today.
Correct.
That's why Shulchan Aruch said, you get married first, and then learn?
Yeah, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but it's not done like that today. In fact, even here, when you quote the Machlekes, see, they don't even... Elohim said, it doesn't even bring down, like, from the Rambam where it is or all that. But these are them. You have, you see, it's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, you have this in different parts. You have in Hilchos Talmud Torah one din, then you have a din in Avin Ezer about the chiv, what age a person is supposed to get married. You see, in Halacha, let me get the Shulchan Aruch.
Let your elf come out. Let your elf show.
In Shulchan Aruch it says like this. Mitzvah kol adam sheisa isha ben yudches. The mitzvah on every man to get married at 18. Okay? He says, even though all mitzvahs you have to do it by mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to get married, why don't you have to do it? You should become a mitzvah, you should right away get married because you have a mitzvah to do. So he says, the Beis Shmuel says, become a mitzvah zu kiblu chazal ben yudches shonu 18 l'chupa. Okay? And also, you have to learn before you get married, and the starting learning of Gemara, the Mishnah says that when you're 15, you start learning Gemara. Right? So therefore, you can't get married at 18 because you need to learn first. Okay, some people say, the mitzvah, she's at the beginning of the 18th year, that means when you're 17. Then he says in Shulchan Aruch like this, v'maktam lisa ben yud gimel, if you get married at bar mitzvah, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it's good. But don't get married before 13. Then it says like this, a guy who's 20 years old and doesn't want to get married, Besdin forces him to get married to do the mitzvah period of Riven. Mio emeiske b'teira, but if a guy's learning and he doesn't want to get married, that he shouldn't have to, you know, get make a living and all that, muter l'sacher, he's able to delay getting married. Oh, so now it says, here, hey, okay, he quotes the Rosh that we just said, there's no set time, okay, as long as your Yetzer is not good, it's not strong. Then the Ramah is Bizmana there, we don't force a guy to get married. Okay? We don't do it. Guy that, Choshka Nafshe, like Ben Azai, as long as he has no Yetzer Hara, he can learn a whole life and get married. That's it.
What happens to Priya Rubia in the case of Ben Azai?
So he did it in a spiritual way.
Did Yonah Samson also want to get married? Because they say when you go to Meron, his kever also on the other
Amuka.
Side. Amuka. Amuka,
right. It's a school of Eshaduchim.
Right, because he never got married, so he said, I'm going to go, when I go there, I'm going to double people to get married.
I don't know.
He lost his mind.
Who?
Ben Azai?
No, he's talking about Yonasan Ben Azai or Ben Azai?
Amuk.
Ben Azai was one of the four people that...
Right, that went alive, that went to Pardes over there.
So if he was married, perhaps he wouldn't have lost his mind.
I don't know. Yeah, but they make up over here that today you can't force people because it's a gzera that the community can't handle, and you don't do that. But that's what the Gemara is talking about, you know. It's, okay. Okay, let's start in a little piece. Huh? We don't do it. Because Al Trebbe says in the Hilchos Talmud Torah, why? Because today everything's written. It's a whole different story. In fact, the Gemara, we're gonna, not today, obviously, but the Gemara soon talks about the dividing up your learning third, what it means. Yeah, because everything's written in the book, so you don't need to go learn orally. To learn everything by heart is much more difficult. So you needed 5 years to learn Chumash before you can learn Mishnah, 5 years Mishnah before you can learn Gemara. But now that it's all written, you don't need that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Would have been very nice if we followed that Seder. You would know so much.
No, you wouldn't. At Heichen, okay, just start this. At Heichen Chayv Adam Lomid is B'nai Teda. How far does the obligation of teaching your son Torah go? I mean, 100 years, 200 years, like, how far does it go? Amid of Yudam Meshmul, Kugain Zvulun ben Don. Rashi says there was a student in there that everybody knew. Zvulun, the son of Don. Shalim de Avi Oviv. That his grandfather taught him, not his father, his grandfather taught him, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, and Agoda. Tom, scripture, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, and Agoda means everything. Okay, we'll see in this topic because it goes into.